Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Carl. It is October the 24th, and we are on you here for the with you for the next hour and a half on the Freedomizer Radio Bible study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. We'll be here till from 3 to 4:30 Eastern Time. And today we are going to continue with our series that we began a while ago, and that is the armor of God. And we are going to continue today to read in the book of Galatians. We are going to show the book of Galatians was written to believers who willingly determined that after they were truly born again and saved, that they were going to go ahead and start living again in the flesh or by the flesh, which is man's armor. We got to remember one thing. God's armor is his word. When you determine that you're going to put the word to the side, which is happening many, many, many places today, it's obvious. It's even made fun of. And not that it should be. I'm not glorying in that because I don't have a church. I'm just saying that the word of God, folks, is not preached in most churches today. And I'm when I say most, I'm going to say, let's say this, over half. That would be from what I read from people who do seem like they have some knowledge on and keep track of this stuff. That's what I ascertain. Am I an expert in this? Absolutely not. But whenever you put on man's word and use that to verify God's word instead of God's word verifying man's word, you are putting on man's armor. And Paul writes the whole book of Galatians to believers who were truly born again, truly have the Holy Spirit. They're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And they were born again by strictly trusting in God's armor, which is his word, his salvation, his gospel. We're going to get in. We're going to start with Galatians 1, 8, and 9 today, which is going to talk exactly about those people who go to another gospel. And we're going to read that. We're going to see that. A gospel that is not, he says, is not even a gospel. But they willingly turn to it. And when Raven comes on, which she should be in a second, we're going to have her read Galatians 3, 1 through 5 again, where we'll set the stage for this. I'm going to give you a phone number you can call if anyone wants to add comments or if anybody wants to ask a question. Like every week, I give you the number. You can call 319-527-6208. And that will be a toll-free call, either a landline call or a cell phone call. It will be toll-free anywhere in continental United States. And I will see you've called in. If you hit one, that will now show me on my screen that I'm looking at that you want to speak or make a comment, ask a question, or you do want to speak to us, and I will take the call. The only two things that I request is that, number one, we keep it to the topic, because there's so many tremendous topics to talk about, that I want to keep it to the context of what we're discussing in our scripture, and that is the consequences of turning to man's armor and putting man's armor on rather than God's. Now, when I said that, I've used the word that's pandemic in churches today, using man's armor, man's wisdom, man's writings, rather than strictly scripture. When Raven comes on, we're going to have her read Galatians 3, 1 through 5, and you're going to see it's not only, it was happening then. By then, I mean back roughly 2,000 years ago, when Paul wrote the book of Galatians a little less than 2,000 years ago, I guess, if you get technical about it. But it was right around 2,000 years ago, and he's very upset with the Galatian people for turning back to now he calls it the flesh. He calls it the flesh, meaning their effort. Anything that is dependent on man is called the flesh, the sin nature. Paul uses those synonymously. And we're going to see where today he's calling, in Galatians, when they're depending on God's, when they're putting God's armor, God's word aside, and they're preaching and teaching in any way, shape, or form, using as their guide whatever man has written, rather than preaching and teaching out of the scripture, which preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified, and only the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, then Paul is going to call it the flesh. I happen to take what I said, man's armor, that's what the flesh is. It's depending on man. Your faith, everything you believe, your faith for living a life after salvation is now, by false doctrine, it is deterred. And you go now starting to study man's commentaries, preaching man's out of man's commentary, teaching out of man's commentary or workbook, or worse than that, even books that they write, not even a workbook, but just their books they write. Again, the church I was at today, the man made a very strong distinction. And he said that we do not preach or teach out of anything but the word of God. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to cover a lot of territory, which he did. He had us going from Genesis to Jude to 2 Peter to Revelation to Matthew 24, talking about the end time events. But he accentuated very strongly that we're not going to take this out of someone's commentary. And he actually used those words. You want to hear what the truth is? You want to hear what God says about it? That is God's armor. And Paul says in Galatians, do not put on man's armor. Go back to God's armor, which saved you to begin with. Okay, I was waiting for Raven to come on. Here she comes. Okay, here she comes. We got it on.
Sorry, I'm running late there. My daughter called me.
No problem.
I got on.
Who called you?
My daughter.
Who?
My daughter.
Okay.
Out in the when you get a call from family several states away, you know, you've got to find out what's going on. So
no problem, I agree. No, it's a nice day there. My wife had a sporting event coming from Kansas on television day. It looked crystal clear compared to where we are, folks. It's raining. In fact, we're getting a lot of rain the last couple of weeks. But
oh yeah,
before
definitely.
That, all we did was complain there was no rain.
Right.
All right. We are going to Raven again. If there's anybody who is joining this program who has not been up to speed with us. I've said that we're likening, not likening, but we're defining God's armor as his word. We're defining man's armor as man's word, where we're trusting in man's interpretation rather than letting the Bible interpret itself, which it will. And then where we started in Galatians a couple, maybe two or three sessions ago, was the results that you will incur if you willingly put aside God's armor and now start trusting in man's armor. And Raven, read Galatians 3, 1 through 5, just to set the stage for those who may not have. I'm going to do this every time we're reading through the book of Galatians. We're going to read 1 through 5, chapter 3, because that defines why Paul wrote the book.
All righty. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the spirit of the works of the law? Excuse me, the spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Okay.
You know, there's one thing he says there, Carl, that really jumped out at me, and that's in verse 2. He says, mm-hmm. This only I want to learn from you. There's just this one thing that I'm writing to you about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Another, he doesn't want to hear that you're going there because we're fishermen of men, and you're going to false doctrine and associating it with, because that's what a fish are. No, he doesn't want to hear that. He wants to know one thing.
Right.
Why have you willingly decided? Why have you willingly decided to now trust man's word? There, and today, Raymond, you know, Pastor Rand, where I go, he started on Revelation. He introduced it last week in Matthew 24. Today he started more on it. And
mm-hmm.
But he made a very distinct statement. He says, I am going to have, and he did. He had us going to Genesis, going to Jude, going to Revelation, going to 2 Peter, going to Matthew 24. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. He says, we are never going to in this church. We are not going to take a commentary or man's guide. We are going to get everything we get from the Bible. And that is, folks,
yeah.
What is called God's armor. Now, having said all that, you and I may still disagree on some things or see some things different, or maybe I don't even see what you're seeing in a certain verse because the Holy Spirit has not given me the spiritual wisdom. But I'm still demanding
yes,
that we use everything in all of my YouTube videos that I do, 3 a week, and I'm up now to, like, I can't believe it, 230 of them or 228 or something. Everything. We are only using God's word. Does that mean that Raven and I may have a little different view of when the rapture is going to come, when Christ is going to return? Maybe even what point are we in the book of Revelation at the end time, even if we really entered into that period, which I think we have. There are some things that are not absolutely defined. For instance, the Bible very clearly states that even Jesus Christ, as a man, did not know and the time of his second coming. But the point is,
right.
We are never going to, we do not ever want ourselves, ever want to allow ourselves to get to the point where you were using man's commentary, and this is what the pastor said this morning, and I'm paraphrasing him, man's commentary, man's workbook, man's writings to justify the word of God and explain it. You can't do it. And Paul is showing these people now in the Galatians chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he's showing them the consequences they will suffer to their spiritual life if they willingly stay in man's armor and not God's armor. Okay.
Amen.
We're going to start with chapter 1 in Galatians, and we read through 7. We're going to start with 8. But I want you just to go back and start with 6 and read through 9.
All right.
Galatians 1.
I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. You know, let me just say this, Carl. I went through Galatians, you know, in as well on my program just recently, not too long ago here. Right. But in going through it even again, and I would encourage people, you know, just because you've read through or studied through one chapter or whatever, do it again and again and again, because the Holy Spirit shows you things, you know, differently, you know, because you're at a different time in your life. You're at a different time with, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, showing you different times things that you need to see. And there's something I see here, and that is that it's not just that, you know, that Paul was, you know, talking to them about the, you know, the flesh versus the spirit, but he was just really, what's the word I want to say? He was just really ripping these people to shreds and saying, look, what's that?
He was beside himself. He's beside himself.
Yes.
He's perplexed. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Meaning that they were saved. Don't come out anybody in your mind and say, like I hear, well, you don't understand. They were never saved. You can't be in the grace of Christ. The grace of Christ leads to salvation, but you can't be in the grace of Christ for your life unless you believe the true gospel. And he says it into another gospel. Yeah.
Right. So, he says you're turning away from what you already knew. And so he's telling the church of Galatia, these are people who were saved, and saying, what is wrong with you? You're allowing yourselves to be perverted by something else that is not what you knew already. You were Christians and you're turning from it. I mean, he's cut to the very core, you know, and he's, I can just see him, if he wasn't writing it, standing up in front of them and crying out to them, you know, and begging them to turn back to Christ and stop turning away. I mean, Carl, you and I have talked about this.
You're right. Well, we don't even have to talk about it. He's saying it here. He said it in Galatians 3:1-5. That's why every week I have you read that to begin.
Right. I mean, you and I have talked about this before, about how it just cuts my heart into pieces when I think about those who are not saved, and it just tears me apart, you know. And I guess I see this more and more every day as I read certain parts of Scripture.
Hold on a minute. You just brought up another point. These are people, folks, who were saved. Turned to man's wisdom, man's power, man's armor, which is man's word, and it was a willing decision, and put aside God's armor, which is his word. She brought up that point. That's okay. That the ones who are unsaved, he's got another gripe with. The ones who are unsaved, they're never going to be converted by hearing a false gospel. We got two issues here. But this one, he's attacking believers, folks, who have truly believed through the true gospel. And now they're turning to a different gospel. What Raven said, if you're in a church or somebody's preaching and teaching what Paul calls a false gospel, another gospel, which he says in verse 7, which is not another gospel at all, you're never going to get conversion. Read Romans 1:16. Only the true gospel, the armor of God, can save you. Read Romans 1:16.
Right.
You brought up a secondary point to it, but it's very important.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek, but that's for the gospel of Christ. the gospel of Christ.
Okay, so what Raymond is saying is there's unsaved people out there, even though Paul is talking to saved people in Galatians who have now turned to man's wisdom, man's armor. But Paul, that's another point he's not addressing in this particular gospel, in this particular book he wrote. But those people, they're not hearing from the scripture, God's armor, they're not hearing God's true gospel, the one Paul delivered you, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not going to be saved. Read Romans 1:16 again. If you don't have the true gospel preached and your faith is not based on your believing the true gospel, the Bible says you don't have salvation. Read it again.
Yeah, that's a very good point, and I just put that cross-reference in there, Carl, because, yes, if you're not, if you're hearing a perverted gospel, or then you're not going to, you can't get saved by that.
And that's what he is saying.
Yeah.
It is another gospel. So not only are you going to have the danger of being a believer and now floating into oblivion by man's gospel as you continue your Christian life and put your faith in man's word over God's word, you've got another problem, I won't call it secondary, that you're preaching and teaching, or the church that's preaching another gospel, you're not going to save anybody. Read Romans 1:16 again, because this is not something you and I cannot say, but the Bible says it.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek.
Okay, now, everything has got to be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Go to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians.
All right.
And read 17 through 23.
All right. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be no effect. For the message
of
the
is man's, hold on, wisdom of words, folks. The wisdom of words is man's wisdom, man's power, man's armor. And what does it do?
Yeah.
It strips the cross of Christ of all of its effect. Go ahead.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God.
The true gospel. Hold on. If I don't preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, it's man's power that's trying to save me, and it says it will not. Unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. If it's not the power of God, meaning his word, which has the power, if it's not the power of God of Romans 1:16 to save your soul, you're not hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not saving people. May there be people in the church that are saved? I didn't say there's not. The Holy Spirit can reach people even through a donkey. He can reach them through a preacher who's not preaching God's word. But the word itself, the scripture, the true gospel is the only thing that God uses for his power to convert people. He does not use Carl's silver tongue or Carl's tremendous memory of the Bible, as I hear people say. There's things in the Bible that being I'm in this thing 7 days a week, I do recall, but that is not what saves people. It's not my interpretation of what the gospel says. It is a power of God for salvation. What is the gospel of Christ? The gospel of Christ. Now, that's another problem, which Paul isn't addressing in Galatians, but it's a horrendous problem. Well, we're not preaching to lost people. Repent and believe the true gospel, Mark 1:15, as a reference for that. Repent. That's another thing this guy, Rand, did today, Raven. He said, I'm going to guess, probably 25, 30-year Southern Baptist graduate of a seminary that I listened to give this talk today, and he said, many times today, you're not going to hear the true gospel preached. And he says, if you don't hear the true gospel, you don't have the power of God's word to save souls. He didn't say people can't get saved, because the Holy Spirit can use any situation. But the mere fact is the word of God is unequivocally, you cannot debate it, the true gospel in the scripture, as Paul said, is the power of God to salvation. Now, if people don't believe it, that's not something you can argue with. Show them the verses, and they've got to come to the grips with, Now, read verse 7.
Okay, for it. I wanted to bring up a reference that goes right along with your 1 Corinthians 17 and 18 there, and that is 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
And is then verse 4. The armor of God.
Yes. And then verse
that
4 goes with that.
The armor of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then verse 4 and 5 goes with that. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men.
Hold on, Raven. Okay.
Yep.
She just said, read 4 again.
Okay. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit.
Hold on, Raven, please. I'm trying to make a point here.
Yes.
Read 4 again, the first phrase.
Okay. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom.
Why? That's human wisdom, folks, is man's wisdom, man's armor, as opposed to God's armor, which is the word of God, which is the gospel of Christ. Now, read 5. Why does he not want to go to human wisdom, human persuasion, a false gospel? Here's the whole problem. Read 5.
That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Do you see why we're saying that if you're going to man's interpretations, if you're doing anything other than using as your total reference the word of God? Didn't say you don't read a Christian book. I've had that thrown at me. Doesn't say you don't have a commentary. I have commentaries, but I read them rather than watching Dr. Phil or Oprah Winfrey or Hallmark, whatever. I'm saying your faith, verse 5 again, so that your faith may be in the power of God, not man's wisdom. There are people, folks, that read 2 or 3 verses or put 3 or 4 verses up on the board or on the screen in a church service, and then they proceed to intertwine a couple of those verses as they tell you a story of what they did when they were in Bible college. No, I want to hear the word of God. You want to tell me what you did in Bible college? Let me buy you a cheap coffee or a cheap lunch and we'll do it. But I want, when I'm in church and I go to Bible study, I don't want to work out of a commentary. I don't want to work out of a workbook. I don't want to work out of a piece of literature that somebody wrote. I want to work out of the Bible. You've got to understand this, folks, and this whole book of Galatians is about those people who willingly decided to turn from God's wisdom to man's wisdom, from God's power to man's power. And Raven just read in 2:5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Don't believe me. You can even ascribe me to a fanatic, whatever you want to. Read the words of 1 Corinthians 2:2. I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, you know what I made a mistake in here? I didn't have you finish reading 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 23, or 17, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. We were in 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
Now just think, don't you see that now today? Where everything
was
telling you what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right?
Amen.
Good.
Up is down, down is up. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And even people who are not spiritual, not religious, are saying, this is wacko.
Absolutely. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe.
And that goes right back to verse 17. Read 17 again.
For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made no effect.
That's exactly what you just read.
Yes.
And that's exactly, now
verse
go to 21 again.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, no, go for wherever you are. That's right.
Okay. 22, for Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. You know, Carl, something about that verse 23 just hit me.
Go ahead.
You know, the reason it is stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks is because the Jews were not ready to accept that the Messiah had actually come yet. They weren't ready to accept who Christ was because he wasn't some great, he hadn't come out of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't some great Jewish orator, some wonderful high person like they were, you know what I mean? But then for the Greeks, he wasn't some very well known, he wasn't full of knowledge, you know, the Greeks wanted all this amazing knowledge, you know, which is what they're talking about here. And for both of them, that's what it was. It wasn't, you know, extreme knowledge. And this is what people even today, just like they're talking about here, this is what they're looking for. This is what stops us. We want science. We want proof. We want to see something. We want to be like Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas, who wanted to.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. If you show me, I'll believe. No, you won't. No, you won't.
Right.
Don't believe the word of God. You're not going to believe it no matter what.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we want that proof. We want that proof. But we must live by faith. We have to live by faith.
You're absolutely right. Okay, no, you're
faith
going
is the
good.
Substance of things not seen. Yeah.
And read that
That's
again.
Hebrews
faith is read the rest of it. Read all of Romans 11:1.
Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things.
Sorry.
Yeah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
And people want what it just said here. Read here again. Where were we? We were in 1 Thessalonians chapter chapter 1, we read 22. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. And
yes.
What does Christ preach? Just seek Jesus Christ and him crucified, and everything's by faith. That's not what we want today. That's why this pastor of this church today, the sermon I heard, he emphatically stated, we're going to use God's word. We're going to spend all day turning pages because I want you to see that when I make a point, it comes from God's word, not what I think or what my interpretation. And he actually said this, and I'm not going to give you what a commentary says. He's not bad-mouthing
yeah.
the commentary. Why would you go? If Raven wrote a book on acting, which she's got some love for and experience in, why am I going to go to Raven's daughter to ask her what she wrote, what she meant? Why not go to the person
right.
who wrote it? Why not go to the
yes.
Word of God to see what he meant? Well,
yes.
we can't understand it. Oh, really? The Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, he is our guide, the one Christ said he would send when he left this planet, that he would send to us so we wouldn't be orphans, and he will teach us all things. He will bring all things to remembrance. He will show you things to come. He's not smart
Amen.
Enough or good enough in his word that he inspired every word. He's not good enough to us. The Holy Spirit wove every molecule of your brain cells. And to say
yes.
that we got to go to man, I'm not saying you don't read, because then I would say don't listen to any of these programs. I'm not saying that. But you only follow what Raven and Carl say if they are pointing you to God's word. Okay, I think we've pretty much established. Let's go back to Galatians 1.
All right.
And go ahead and now read 7, 8, 9.
All right. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even
so
if we...
Give an example,
or,
Raven. What
yeah.
what would you think pervert the gospel of Christ? Why don't we try reading Acts 15 and read 1
All
and
right.
5?
Okay.
Pervert
because this
gospel.
Is what people do. They don't preach, they don't take a whole new gospel. They just take things and they twist them a little bit.
And they add to and subtract. You're right. This is what pervert
yep.
means. Pervert is
yep.
when you destroy the purity of something.
Yep. Acts 1:15, you said?
No, 15:1.
No,
and 15:5.
Oh,
that's all
I was
right.
a little and dyslexic there for a minute.
Don't worry about it. No problem.
Dyslexia. All right. Let's see. 15:1 and
you,
5, you
are,
said?
Are you, wait, are you a victim of dyslexia?
You know, I'm not, but my all three
okay.
of my children
I
are.
Because my son,
all three of my kids are. They get it from.
It.
No, they get it from my ex-husband's side. All three of my
okay.
kids are dyslexic. Yeah, and certain
okay.
men came down from Judea, and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. In verse 5, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
You see where the perversion started? You've got to be circumcised.
Yes.
By the time it got to verse 5, it says what? You not only got to be circumcised, you've got to keep the whole law. You see where
yes.
perverting the gospel comes in? Doesn't say you don't believe in Christ. In addition to believing in Christ. Now, the key phrase
yeah.
in here is the little phrase she used, who believed, who believed, who believed. Because, again, I'm going to have people say, well, they were never believers to begin with. Then you got to discuss that with the Holy Spirit who inspired every word in this Bible.
Yes.
We've got perversion going on. Every epistle, excuse me, talks about the ravenous wolves who will come in latter days, and they will destroy. Peter, it talks about how Satan roars around and his emissaries, his workers, as ravenous wolves trying to destroy the flock. It's in the book of Acts. It's in Romans. It's in every epistle. Go to Jude. Jude, anybody says that you hear someone like us and we're critical, we can't even carry Jude's lunchbox as far as being critical of perversion in the scripture preaching and teaching in the church. In the church.
Yes.
All right, let's go to verse 8-9.
But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be cursed.
What
accursed.
Do you think that means?
Sent
this
to
is
hell.
The Holy Spirit speaking, folks. This that's not Raven saying go to hell. This is the Holy Spirit speaking.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he was having a bad day. Read verse 9.
Well, I have a cross-reference here to 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed.
Well, that's a good, I've got that written down too, 1 Corinthians. All right, while you're in Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians 11:4.
All right.
You can't get 11:4. Away from it. You can choose to say you don't believe it, or you can choose to say I don't care, or I'm going to just do nothing, which is a decision. You can't say it's not there.
For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. This goes with, should I go back to verse 3?
Yeah.
Because in verse 3 he says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
That's good.
He's saying he's,
the simplicity in Christ. That's exactly what you read in 1 Corinthians 2:2. He determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Why is it simplicity? All you've got to do is put your faith in Christ, and his word and him are identical. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Christ and this Bible are you can't separate them. You deny him, you deny the Bible. You deny the Bible, you deny him. Now, Raven and I are not coming to you as infallible, pompous preaching and teaching and saying to you, we've never touched anything. Nothing's ever touched our lips that's fattening, illegal, or immoral. We're coming to you telling you that we have been sucked into this horrible trap. Don't do it. Don't do it. If there's anyone out there who has not turned to man's armor as opposed to God's armor, don't do it. If there's someone out there that is in the middle of it and the Holy Spirit is convicting you of it, you've got to get out of it. Raven, read 2 John 7-11.
All right.
Got to get out of it. Got to get out of it. You came up with some good ones that I added to this last Friday when we were talking.
Okay. 2 John.
You remember that? Friday you came up with some excellent ones to add to
John. Yes.
Yeah.
I do. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Amen.
All right. Let's go to Ephesians.
Yes.
And we are going to read, bear with me here. I got to look for the note. Ephesians 5, 7, and 11. This is what Paul
yes.
is saying. The Holy Spirit is saying to Paul, if you know you're not hearing the strictly from the scripture and preaching and teaching based on the scripture only, and you know they're mixing it with man's wisdom, what you've got to do. This is not Raven and Carl saying it. This is the Holy Spirit saying it to us.
You said 7?
And 11.
All right. Therefore, do not be partakers. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them.
Okay, 11.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose them.
Now go ahead and read. We'll go back to Galatians 1:9 again and see what the Holy Spirit says about these people who are deceiving believers.
As I have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed.
Folks, let him be accursed.
Yeah.
Now, verse 10. Why might we be preaching and teaching false gospels? Why might we be knowingly, even though we suppress it in our conscience by explaining and rationalizing, why may we be going to studies or a church that is not working from the Word of God? Read verse 10. This hurts. I'm going to tell you, when she reads this, it's going to hurt, but it's true.
For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ.
There you go. What's your motive? Motives, folks, are anywhere. There's infinite numbers. I may not want to hear the true gospel because I want to hide my little sin that nobody knows about. You know, it's one of those sins like people say, oh, it doesn't hurt anybody. Doesn't hurt anybody? Let you be accursed. Is there a little sin that I hold in my... Is there a sin that I hold in my back pocket, my wallet, where nobody even knows I got a little place where I can hide some paperwork I don't want somebody to see, maybe a phone number I shouldn't be having? I don't know what it could be. Could it be that it generates good cash to not preach repent? A false gospel is definitely a moneymaker, folks. And I don't think anybody, no matter how cynical you are, can deny that. I don't know. He's just saying, are you trying to please men? Do you want a following here? Or do you want your reward in heaven? It's your choice. Remember Howie Mandel? Deal or no deal. And no choice is a choice.
That's right.
Go ahead with let's read 11, 12, and why don't you go 11 through 14.
All right. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we know that happened to him on the road to Damascus.
But just think of
that. For you have
He did not receive it from man, neither was he taught it by man. Don't put the Bible aside for any man's wisdom. Turn Carl and Raven off. Forget you even heard them. Erase it from your mind if we're not teaching and preaching or teaching out of the scripture. We're worse than a waste of time. We're preaching you a perverted gospel. Go ahead.
For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers.
Okay. He's saying here that he was actually number two in Judaism. He had religion down perfectly. He had religion down. Remember, in Philippians 3, I think it was, where he said that it was Philippians 3, that as far as obeying the law, he was blameless. Why do we go back to man's traditions? Why do we add to people that once you're saved by grace through faith that you've got to be circumcised? Well, we laugh at that. Okay, baptized. And then we debate on how you got to be baptized. Don't add anything to the simplicity of Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is biblical.
Amen.
Okay. Go ahead with 15.
But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood.
And that, folks, is a pandemic disease that we have today.
Yeah.
Everybody, they'll read the Bible and they'll come to one of they'll go to each other.
Yeah.
And what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
Folks, give the Holy Spirit, who is the only teacher, give him the opportunity to teach you. Or I read it and I don't get it. Folks, if you think Raven and I get this stuff and we just open the book and voila, it comes out. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I have literally got 36 years of notes that I've kept, and I read them over, and I go back to the verses to refresh my memory. I'm not saying you got to follow my footsteps. What I'm saying is this does not come easy. You have got to sit down and look at the scripture and confirm things. You know, one of the verses say in the Old and New Testament, same verse, everything has got to be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That means you don't just take one verse and not take the context of the chapter, not check out is the same thing said in other parts of the Bible. That's why this guy today had us going back and forth from Matthew 24 to Revelation to Jude to 2 Peter to Genesis, because they were all saying the same thing. Confirm the word of God by the word of God. Don't go to Carl or Raven unless they're preaching the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. But notice, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood. Now, flesh and blood in those days were the big wheels, the Peters.
Right. Yeah.
All the apostles.
What I love.
The disciples. Yeah.
What I love here is he's saying, you know, he's also saying, look, you know, when God told me to go out and preach the word, he says, I didn't go out and I didn't go talk to anybody else. I just did it. God told me. I didn't go say, well, hey, Peter, God said to do this. Should I go do it? God said it, so I did it. I didn't ask somebody else. I listen to God, and I love that.
You're very right. And he You're absolutely correct there. He did not confer with flesh and blood. He didn't even go to those in Jerusalem who were very big wheels.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and read 17. Paul makes it very clear, folks, if you want to hear it, listen to it. If you don't, we can't do anything about that. But Paul makes it very clear. He didn't even go to Peter. Go ahead.
Right. And as you said, you know, we have God's word in writing now. It's not necessary, you know, for us to say, well, you know, should we do this or that? Or, you know, no. If God's word says do it, that's what we're to do. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days.
Now, the reason it's 3 years, folks, is go back to verse 12.
Okay. But I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
He was 3 years where? In verse 17, in the Arabian desert. 3 years being instructed by Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? I can't.
Amen. Someday.
You see why Paul shuddered when he wrote verse 8 and 9? Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Do you see why he says this?
Yeah.
That is actually speaking of a person who preaches the gospel, but a wrong gospel, that person deserves to go to hell. He says, let him go. Let him be accursed. Because Paul did not get this from Carl. He did not get it from Raven. He did not get it from a workbook or a commentary. And folks, we have got Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is God. He and his Word. We have got the same opportunity that Paul had in the Arabian desert for 3 years. Why do we want to go to man's opinion? Again, you could go back to the verse she read in verse 10. Do I now want to persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? Do I seek to get a big church? Do I seek to have a big income? I don't know what the causes are. Do I have sin I don't want to expose? Because the Bible will expose it. Remember the Word of God. Read Hebrews 4:12. Here's another problem with the Word of God.
Oh, it shines a light on your sin.
Oh, and it does, folks, and not just, I'm not criticizing. This is what I go through.
For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ah, ouch. Boy, does that hurt? Think
baby,
about every single word in that. Let me just read that again, Carl.
That verse,
the Word of God is living.
Go ahead.
The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, hear the rest of this. It piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Just think about that. It will pierce and divide your soul and your spirit and joints and marrow.
Think of
and
that.
Is a discerner.
Hold on, Raven.
Yeah.
Think of a knife that actually cuts your joints apart, that actually gets into the marrow of your bone, the marrow of the bone.
Yes. Because it can see every single thing inside of you.
Amen.
And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intense of the heart. It knows every single thing, not only that you think, but everything that you intend. That's what it says, the intents of your heart. Not just what you're thinking, but what you mean behind it. So not just that, boy, I'd like to have my next door neighbor's car, but why you want to have it? What you're planning on doing with it? So, I mean, think of that, people.
You know, Raven, you need to apologize to me later, because she knows one of my strongest passion in life is cars. Go ahead.
Oh.
That was a low blow. I'll get even, though.
But I mean, you know, think about this, folks. This is so deep. Just that one little verse.
Oh,
the
yes.
Word of God. And who is the Word of God? That's Christ is the Word. So it's not just about, so it's every time you read Scripture, maybe the reason that it bothers you to get into it and read it daily is because it sinks in so hard. And every time
Raven,
you read
I'll
a verse.
Honest, Raven, I'll be
yeah.
honest with you. I still feel that needle going in me. No, I do.
Of course, we all do. We all
but
do.
See, that's
but
why,
that's why it's important.
That's why the Gospels that they're preaching in 8 and 9, another Gospel, why they're so popular and they get such big crowds. You don't want
yeah.
to offend your people, because then they're going to go down. In other words, if Raven keeps preaching this way to you, you're going to go down and take your, you're going to leave her church and come down to Carl's church where Carl doesn't tell you you need to repent. I'm telling
right.
you, folks, we're sick. It's not just today. It was going on back 2,000 years ago, and we wouldn't be reading it.
Yep. Absolutely. Yes. But here's the great truth. That we can be healthier. And how can we be healthier? By reading the Word of God. Yes, yes, we're a sick people, and but the Word of God will make us healthier. And how does it do it? By getting down into the joints and marrows, and that knife that gets down in there, it does that surgery on us, you know.
Amen.
And it makes
it's
us better.
Away all the, it's cutting away all the infection, which is sin.
Yeah. Yes.
But like
absolutely.
You said earlier, you emphasize the intent. It's not necessarily
yes.
that I've done anything wrong. It's a fantasy of mine. It's my intent.
Yes.
It's somewhere that I want to go.
Yeah.
You can't escape the Scripture, folks. It cuts
no.
nothing. Imagine cutting into your bone marrow. That's inside your bone.
Yeah.
That's a great verse, that Hebrews 4:12.
It really
now,
is. You know, I've never had a bone marrow test, but I know people who've
yes.
had it done. And it's my understanding that it is extremely painful, and they do it unsedated
yes.
most usually. And it's
yes,
very, very painful.
Why,
but you know what? With that pain comes healing. With that pain comes healing, because they find out what's wrong with
pain,
you.
Without the pain, there is no healing.
That's right. That's right. And that's what God
now,
does for us, you know. We have to go through some pain, but then we get wonderful healing through Christ. Yeah.
Okay, let's go back and now read, based on what you just elaborated on in Hebrews 4:12, go back and read Hebrews 1:16 again.
All right. Wait a minute, Hebrews 1:16?
Not Hebrews, sorry, Galatians. I apologize.
Oh, okay. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood.
Do you see we're comparing with flesh and blood as man? That is man's wisdom, man's armor? No, there are consequences if you go to man's armor, and that is the object of your faith. Is it a consequence if you talk to anybody about this stuff? No. But if your faith is in what they're saying rather than what the Word of God says, because you don't want your secret sin to come to your mind except when you want to partake in it, you are committing spiritual suicide.
Right. Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Read Matthew 6:33.
Okay. You know, I love that you say that. Is your faith in the word, or is it in the person that you're hearing it through? So, yes,
that's
you can
right.
you can
if
come and you can...
In, yeah, if their faith, Raven, is what you or I are saying, is we're misdirecting them. It's got to be who we're
right.
pointing you towards, or we're preaching a false gospel.
Absolutely.
And that is pandemic.
This is why we... Yes. This
no,
is why
ahead.
We like to use more scripture than our words. It's more important that we use scripture and that we pray before we come on here. We ask for the Holy Spirit to give us the words. You know, this is about God, not about us. Yeah.
You got it.
Yep. Okay. I'm sorry. That was Matthew what again?
6:33.
6:33.
Don't
but seek first
don't
the
seek goals. Seek this. Seek only this.
Yes. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all
now,
these things
Raven?
Shall be added to you.
Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do you see where that ties into what you said? The object of,
oh, yeah.
of their faith, the object of your faith is not what we're saying, but Jesus Christ, what he said.
Yes,
and folks,
absolutely.
If you're going to make the decision where the object of your faith is going to be man's word, man's armor, man's wisdom, you will suffer consequences. That's what this whole book is written. Okay, go ahead and 17 again. Let's confirm what he thought about the big wheels in the church.
Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus.
Now, why is he
then,
saying that? Hold on. Why is he saying this?
Yep.
He's saying, folks, when he needs to know what the Word of God is and what he is to preach, he's not going to even go to those who are apostles before him. Meaning Peter and Andrew and John. He's not going to them. He's
yes.
not criticizing them. He's not saying that he can't learn anything from them. He's saying, but when it comes down to the Word of God, I'm going to go to God to see what he says, not to man. Go ahead.
Yes.
After 3 years, 18.
Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days.
Amazing. After three
yes.
years, and after 3 years, he stayed with Peter for what, 15 days?
Right.
He wanted to make sure that he knew nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Nothing. Nowhere
Absolutely.
Here is he criticizing these other people. Okay, go with 19.
But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother.
And how many people, Raven, we see it everywhere. They believe in this
mm-hmm.
pastor. They believe in this televangelist. They buy this guy's books. And you know people that fly back and forth from coast to coast going to different seminars. Folks, I'm not saying don't go to seminars. I'm saying go to one every day. But your faith is in Jesus Christ like Paul. It's not in what man
yeah.
says. You have to build that foundation. In 1 Corinthians 3, foundation has got to be Christ and him crucified. It's like building the house on the sand or on stone. If you're building your foundation on my interpretation of the scripture, not what I'm leading you in the scripture, you're building your house on sand. It is not going to stand in a storm.
Absolutely. Well,
all right,
here's
so
the thing.
Yep.
Here's the thing. Are you being like the Bereans and making sure that you're searching the scripture daily to check whether or not what we're teaching, what any other pastor is teaching you, is correct? Acts 17:10-11. Make sure that what you're learning, what you're hearing, is right. Because if you're not, they can just be teaching you just junk week after week.
Read 17.
Okay.
I want
let me get back
that.
There.
This will be a self-help.
Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so.
It's
and
obvious,
if not, you can be hearing a perverse gospel, a perverted gospel, and not even know it. You know, people are cherry-picking verses, and, you know, you can hear something, one verse, and you think, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense, what he's telling me. But it turns out that one little verse, that everything around it changes the whole perspective. It changes the whole perspective.
Let's give an example of what you're saying. Go to Acts 20 and read 29 through 32. 29 through 32.
Okay.
Chapter 20, 29. This is exactly what Raven is just saying.
Okay.
Good stuff. If there wasn't some truth in their verses and they didn't give you some truth, you'd never be deceived.
Yes. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves.
This is in
therefore,
the churches. Do you see what she's saying? But this is in the churches.
Yes.
This is going to happen. It's not happening in Los Angeles, where the Detroit Lions are playing today, or Austin, Texas, where the U.S. Grand Prix is going on. This is in the churches. Keep going.
Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears.
About what did he warn him, Raven? About the previous verse?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Keep going.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So the disease that he's talking about in 29 and 30, the disease, what is the only cure? Read this one again. This is God's word, God's wisdom, God's armor.
Yes.
Read that one again. What does he commend you to solve this problem of savage wolves that are going to tear them, to get people to follow after that? And that's what they're doing. They want a following of you, and they're willing to risk your soul for it. Savage wolves. And what does
yes.
he say is the only guard you've got against it? Read that last verse again. This is the only guard you've got.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Amen.
He's talking among those who are sanctified, so you know they're believers. You know that.
Yeah.
Don't say they're unbelievers. No. These are the people who are sanctified. But do you see the danger they're in? That the ones who are sanctified, the danger they're in is in verse 30, 31. 29, 30, and 31. These are sanctified people, folks, who are being sanctified. Be sanctified if you're not a believer. So don't be deceived by people saying you don't realize they were never saved. No, don't go there. Not because I said it, because I used to believe the opposite. They were never saved to begin with. But you can't read this stuff and hold on to that.
Amen.
Does that make sense, Raven, that 32? These people
absolutely.
Are being sanctified. So it's not talking the danger to people who are not saved. There is no danger to people who are not saved. That's just, even logistically, a person is not saved. How are you going to screw them up? He's come talking to those people who are sanctified. They're being sanctified. They're born again. And he's telling them, you can't expose yourself to this man's wisdom. You've got to go to what? I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That's the scripture. Base all of the object of your faith only on what the scripture says. And as far as another person, if Raven and I are preaching to you just from the scripture, you don't believe us. You believe the one we're pointing to. All right. Go ahead with 19, 20, 21.
All right. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the...
Hold on. He's saying this is not a lie. He says, I write to you, behold, before God. In other words, as God is my witness, I'm not lying to you. Meaning that these things are happening. These are present dangers to the souls of those who are saved. Well, that can't be. Well, then you've got to go back to Acts 20 and read that verse in 32. Where he is warning the people who are sanctified. You can't be sanctified without salvation.
Yeah.
Can't be.
Yeah.
I lie not. That is strict. That is amazing what he's saying. He's actually taking God is my witness. That's pretty strong language. Oh, wait, go ahead with 21 through 24.
Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me.
That is Raven, and I will say, not to just be polite, but that is your goal, is for people to see God working in you and working with them. That verse 24, folks, should be the only motivation behind anything we do in any ministry we have. And everybody who's a believer is a minister in the New Testament. Whatever you're doing, gifts of help, preaching, teaching, pastor, teacher, gifts of healing, gifts of tongues, gifts of interpreting of tongues, whatever it is, verse 24 should be the one thing we're looking for, and that is for people to glorify God in you. In other words, when they see you, they're not raving about how good you are. They're actually seeing God's tremendous power, his grace, his forgiveness, that has taken a wretch like us and made us to where we're helping them by bringing God's word. Verse 24 is very important.
Yeah. And you know something that I just noticed here that it's amazing, like I said before, how you go through it again and you see things that you didn't even see before.
Absolutely.
But Yeah, because, you know, there's something before God put this ministry in me. There was this part of me, and it's still there, and I'm sure it will always actually be there to an extent. But there's this part of me that said, how can I possibly work this ministry when I'm not worthy, you know? And, of course, we're not worthy except through Christ, right?
Yep.
I mean, we're not – there's nothing in us that is good enough. The only thing that makes us worthy is Christ through us. But this is exactly it. You know, we read this verse 23, and they say the only thing that they were hearing was, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. They see this amazing change in Paul that could only have come through Christ.
You just made a statement, though. You're not worthy.
Yes.
Okay, this is not waving, just being humble. Well, that's what I say. I see this in you, I guess, as a fruit of what. What's just, we've only got about 8 minutes to go. Why don't we just go raving and we'll just read it. Try to get through it. Read Philippians 3, 1 through 10. And this is what Raven is saying, that she's not just being humble, that she's not worthy to do this. And well, let's see what Paul says in Philippians 3, 1 through 10.
All right. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs.
Not tedious.
Yeah.
Dogs.
Yeah. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. He's talking about.
That's exactly these dogs and the mutilation of your soul is exactly what he's talking about in Acts 29 through 31 that you read. Ravenous wolves will come in to destroy the flock. Okay.
Right. And the mutilation, he's also talking about those who would come in and try to force circumcision on them because they think it's going to somehow do something for them when it actually doesn't.
Don't we do the same thing? We're demanding baptism?
Absolutely. Or anything else. Or anything else in addition to salvation.
Yeah. Now, I've been baptized, and I even have the mentality that baptism is a good thing to go through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like communion. When you're being baptized, you're remembering what he's done for you. That's a great thing to recall to your mind. But don't tell people that you've got to be baptized in any way, shape, or form, imply or explicitly state that that's a requirement for salvation. And Raven, you know a person who has even read our verses, many of them, that say that baptism, that's faith in Christ alone saves. And he said he understands the verses, but he still can't get away from this teaching he grew up with that he's got to be baptized in order to be saved. We're doing the same thing. We don't use circumcision. We laugh at that. No, it's anything you put ahead of Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
Well, go ahead.
Yes. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh.
That means my ability to please God, which Raven said 5 minutes ago that she's not worthy to do it. No, we're not worthy because in the flesh we can't. But God working in us, and people will see that. Keep going.
Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he might have confidence in the flesh, I more so.
Oh,
circumcised.
This guy's a little
circumcised.
Cocky. He's a little cocky, and he is. Go ahead.
Yeah. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel.
Let me hold on. Yes. He's a little cocky as he was when he was preaching the law. not cocky now in Christ. He's a little egotistical, a little prideful. If he says, anybody have confidence in the flesh, I more. When he was preaching the law, when he was preaching his effort, his religiosity, his wisdom, he was a little bit prideful. Okay, go ahead with five.
Yes. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. And he's just sort of going down and listing all the things that anyone
he's good
might have.
Yes.
Right. All his it's like you or I, Carl, going down and listing like all of our college degrees and you know, and whatnot.
Yeah, that was so painful to me, college. I think I might go back to the days I played baseball as a young person, but
right,
man, I'll
all
say,
these
I
things
never worked so hard for anything in my life like college. Go ahead.
Right, but just all these things that we might say are worth anything, right? A Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting
purple.
The church. What's that?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless.
Do you see what he thought of himself? Do you see what he thought of himself? He was blameless by the law.
Yes.
Now he's going to take a 180-degree turn. Go ahead.
But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
Hold on. This is not polite. I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformed to his death. This does not mean necessarily physical, although it could be. But the suffering he's doing is what? He changed in verse 7 to where he counted everything as rubbish or dung. The thing you've got to surrender, folks, is your ability, your self-righteousness, anything that you could do. It's all Jesus Christ working in you. Okay, we will pick up on starting on Galatians chapter 2 next week. Go ahead and say a final prayer if you wouldn't mind.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your righteousness, Lord. Your righteousness, which is nothing from us. For we can absolutely do nothing at all which would come anywhere near being good enough for your heaven. Absolutely worthless in your eyes, Lord. Except for the worthiness that comes through Christ. We are so thankful for your Son, who you gave for us as a sacrifice, something which we would never have done for each other, but which you did for us. We love you, Lord, and are so blessed that you loved us first. We're just so thankful, and we bless and praise your name. And thank you that you allow us to have this ministry week after week, Lord, to reach out to others who may not even have a way to hear your word. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, thank you, Raven, and we will be back again next week. Take care.
Amen. Mm-hmm.